All right, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We have been going through a series in Mark called Deliver the Reality. And we are going to continue that series today, like I said previously. However, you know, thoughts and everything are going to what the actions that are going on in this country right now for former President Trump. He's running for office again. Just remember that in your prayers, but we want to make sure we focus on Christ and what he has done for us. If you don't have your own copy of God's Word, there's a Bible in the back of the pew. You can grab that. It's on page 570, I believe, page 570 of that scripture. If you do not have a copy of God's Word for yourself, we highly recommend and we would love and encourage you to take that with you. We want you to be able to have a copy of God's Word. We would love for you to read it, study it for yourself, learn of Christ and what he has done, and he's coming back. And we just pray that it would be a benefit to you. Or if you know someone who needs a copy, please feel free to take it and gift them that copy as well. So Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, let's read God's Word. It says, "Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore, he taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky soil, or rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said to them, 'Let anyone who has ears to hear listen.' When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he answered them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven.' Then he said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear it, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. Others are like the seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root, and it is short-lived. When distress and persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown." Let's pray. Dear Lord, this is your word. I'm your feeble servant. I just ask that anything that I say that honors you and glorifies you, the Holy Spirit will just embed it in our hearts. But those words that I may say that do not glorify you, I pray that they just fall to the ground and before they're even heard. May you receive all the honor and glory, and may we gain knowledge and just learn of your wisdom and grace this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're in a series called Deliver the Reality. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Mark as a writer is one who writes very fast. He writes scripture very fast. I equated it to, it's a blog style of writing where it's very fast, USA Today style of writing. There is depth to Mark, but he makes sure that it's covered in the high points of everything going on. And so Mark has been following Jesus' life. We saw his baptism. We saw his ministry start, where he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come." And that's him himself. So we saw all of that. We saw the close of the Old Testament with John being the last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist being the last prophet of the Old Testament, and how with his ministry, the new covenant was here in Christ, and John closed the door on the old covenant. And then we saw how Jesus had been healing. We've watched him heal a paralyzed man through the faith of his friends. We saw how he healed a man on the Sabbath day who had a withered hand. And because of that, then, the religious leaders had this growing contention with Jesus because he wasn't following their rules. Now, God's word has imperatives and commands and laws in it. But what we looked at was, and what I stressed was, that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' time, they made rules around God's word. So, for instance, as an example, and this is not in Scripture, I'm just using it as an example. If God says on the Sabbath you can walk 10 paces, the Pharisees would say, well, to protect you from walking 10 paces, walk 8 paces. Otherwise, those last 2 paces you may be sinning. But we saw how those last 2 paces may be where God blesses you the most, right? So not following God's word to the T and putting rules around rules actually is a detriment to our blessing. And so this building contention is happening, and we see how last week we talked about how the Christ's mission then started to manifest, and he started to talk about how the new family, his new family, right? Who is my mother and my brother? Those who are obedient to my word, right? So this growing contention is happening. And then we get to chapter 4 and he starts speaking in parables. And the parable we're looking at, the parable of the soils, the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, it's named a lot of things. It's really, really multi-layered. And we're going to try to peel back a couple of those layers this morning. But we'll start back in verse 1. Obviously here, Jesus has been teaching, he's been preaching. We look, there's a very large crowd, so he does a practical ministry thing. He gets in a boat so the acoustics are better. He didn't have the technology that we have of the mics and everything, so he had to use the nature around him and the natural acoustics of his voice bouncing off of the water for people to hear him better. So that's verse 1. So he starts teaching them, and then he tells the parable of the soils. That's what I'm going to call it. But again, it's multi-layered, multifaceted. We see that first we're going to take a look at who the sower is. Who the sower is. Then we're going to take a look at the seed. And then we're going to take a look at the various soils. So we're going to take a look at the sower first. So who is the sower? Well, in verse 3, Christ starts the parable, and he starts it with an imperative. He starts it with a command. He starts it with a, if you're a teacher in the room and you've done the thing where you raise your hand until everybody gets quiet, that's what he was doing. He was saying, this is something you need to listen to. Our translation says, listen with an exclamation point on it, right? It's a command. He's telling them that what he's about to say is super important and you better listen up. And then he goes into the sower. So we have this sower here who is sowing seed. So again, who is this sower? Because I would contend that the sower looks like he's a little bit not paying attention to where his seed's going, right? It looks like he or she is slinging seed everywhere. Well, in the layers, the first sower is actually God himself. Because what's he sowing? The word. Who made the word? What's John 1 say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You know, so God is the first sower. Now, Is God one who is willy-nilly with things? No. Jesus is actually using common things in this day and age to prove a point that God's word needs to go out to everyone. So in my studies for this passage, one of the people that I read about was a theologian who went to this very area, and he actually said that Jesus was taking the actual agricultural standards of the time to prove this point. You have a road. The road's a beaten path. It's a dirt path. For you guys, it's a sandy path. That's kind of packed down, right? And it's packed down, and it's really rough, really hard. Then right on the edge of the road are rocks. And then right beyond the rocks are thorns. And then the open field starts. And he says he can see how Jesus was using the layout of the land of the day to prove this point. So when people sowed the seed in the fields, ultimately there were some that were going to bounce onto the road. There were some seed that was going to bounce into the rock. There was some seed that was going to be pushed into the thorns. Because here's how they sowed seed in Israel. They actually tilled the soil after the seed was sown. And most of the time, especially for the poorer farmers, it was going to be a large stick. So the seeds laying on good ground could bounce off into these other areas. So Jesus is using this picture to say God's going to get his word out to everyone, as many people as possible. In other portions of scripture, it says that God's word is, he throws his pearls before the swine, right? So this is Jesus using this picture here of this vision of what they actually saw. God is the original sower. But God has commissioned his children, however, to also be sowers of his word, sowers of the seed. Now, following the master sower, we are to do the same thing. But here's the kicker. While God is perfect, we're little children. So picture, if you will, a farmer who's sowing seed, and he's a master farmer, and he's doing exactly what he needs to be, and picture one of his young children following behind him with the little pouch. And that kid's just slinging seed everywhere. That's okay. That's what we're called to do. Get God's word out to as many people as possible. Sling seed everywhere. The soils we'll deal with in just a little bit, but our job as Christians, if you're a believer in Christ this morning, as you take the seed of God's word out, sling it everywhere. When I say sling, I use that in quotes, right? Share it everywhere. So it doesn't mean that we have to be master farmers. We just have to be faithful to the farming that we've been called to do. God sows his word. And it's a vision, like I said, Jesus is using actual agriculture of the day to prove this point. Our ability, our natural instincts is sometimes we retract a little bit because we think if we're sharing Christ with someone that we're going to say the wrong thing, that we're going to not share exactly what needs to be said. Well, God also takes care of that for us, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say at the right time. We are just to be faithful and just sharing God's word with others. So God is the first sower. God is the sower of the word in this example. And then he has commissioned us as under farmers, if you will, to sow the word with him to the world. So that's the sower. Now let's look at the seed. Look back in verse 4. It says, as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And then you drop down, verse 7, verse 8, so forth and so on. Drop down to where he starts to explain it. In verse 14, It says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. So what, as Christians, are we commissioned to share? God's word. Evangelism actually is the sharing of the gospel, the good news of Christ, right? The good news, the fact that you cannot get to heaven on your own, the fact that you have sinned against a holy God, the fact that you cannot meet the standard of holiness and perfection that He demands, and that Jesus is the one who can be your substitute, your propitiation. He is the one who can come in and pay your debt for you. You have to repent of your sin, put your trust in Him, confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life, and then the great exchange, as they call it, takes place, where Christ gives you His righteousness and you give Him His sin on, or your sin on the cross. So that's the gospel, that's the word. And in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells His disciples, go proclaim the gospel to all the nations, teaching them everything I've told you. So part of sharing the gospel is not only sharing the good news, sharing the gospel, it's also teaching everything that's in this book, because it's the story of Him. This always gets me in trouble when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Your testimony, as great as it is for you, is not the gospel. Okay? Your testimony is a vehicle that God has given you to share the gospel. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's say that we have a person who used to be someone who, I'll pick on a druggie, right? Who used to do drugs all the time. And God radically saves this person and changes this person's life and completely changes. And this person starts sharing his or her story with their friends and other druggies. And, you know, now this person's clean. They've got their life all together. They've got a job. They're a valuable member to society. And this person starts sharing the story of how God just radically changed their life. If they don't tell the story of the gospel, then the druggie's going to hear, well, that's my ticket out of drugs, which is true. But what happens if they don't realize that repenting means completely giving their life over to Christ? Then it could hurt this person, the second person, even more, because, well, Jesus didn't save me from the drugs. But they didn't get the complete story of repentance and the cross and how Jesus exchanges His life for ours. So I always get in trouble when I say your testimony is not the gospel. It's a vehicle for the gospel to get to where it needs to go. God saved me because He wanted the gospel to go somewhere else, to get to someone else. God saved you because He wants the gospel to go to another person. Use your testimony as a vehicle, but make sure that the gospel is shared. Also, the word is not legalism. The word is not our testimony. The word is not legalism. Because too many times, if someone says, well, I go to such and such church, and I've shared this story before where I was in the store and someone asked me where I went to church, and they said, is that a Baptist church? And I said, yes, it is. And they said, well, I can't go to the Baptist church because my life is, I've not got my life straightened out yet, because they saw all the rules. Legalism doesn't save us. That's the Pharisees' problem, right? That's the issue. So the gospel is not legalism. The word is not legalism. The word is not clean up your life and then come to Christ. It's come to Christ. He can clean up your life. It's not spiritualism per se, because we'll see that in one of the soils. The gospel, the seed, is God's word. You can never go wrong with just opening up a Bible in front of somebody and say, let's look in the book. Let's look in the book. So we have the sower. God is the first sower. He's commissioned us to sow. We have the seed. God's word is the seed. The gospel is what needs to be out. And then we see the soils. And there are four soils. They're very familiar with us if you've been in the church any amount of time. The first one is the road or the hard path. This is total rejection because of hardness of heart, right? Because the example Christ is using is of a hard, beaten down path, which is an example of the hardness of some people's hearts, right? And we've all ran into these people or seen or know of these people. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's one of your friends where when they talk about spirit, when you start talking about spiritual things and you start talking about Christ, there's an immediate rejection. There's an immediate shutdown because of the hardness of their hearts. And then Satan comes in and steals the seed. They remove the seed. They take that seed away so it can't have an opportunity to penetrate the person's heart. And again, a wonderful example, because how many of you, if you're an adult anyway, how many of you have ever tried to sow grass in a certain portion of your yard or over your yard? Isn't it extremely irritating? You sow the grass, you put the straw down, you cover it up, you're looking forward to your wife being able to mow then. At least in my case, that's what happens. She won't let me touch the mower, I always wreck it. Anyway, what happens when you look out the window and you see all the birds in the yard? It's irritating, isn't it? And so Jesus, again, is using a natural example to show the fact that some people are just not going to accept the word. So we have the road or the beaten down path. Then we have the seed that is thrown into the stones. And Jesus is very detailed in this when it talks about this, where it's the rocky ground in verse 16. Other seeds are sown in rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. There's enthusiasm, there's emotion, there may be crying and weeping. But the distress and persecution come because they have received the word. Jesus' words are very clear. Immediately they fall away. Just let that sit there just for a second. There is no depth. There is no root in the fact that this person who receives the word like this and gets emotional and has an emotional experience, they see that Jesus is something and they want to be a part of it, but they don't realize that that means following him for eternity in this life and the next. And when struggles come and persecution comes, it shows that their profession is not possession because they have no root. And then similarly, when it falls among thorns again, verse 18, other seeds sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Again, Jesus is really, really clear here that there are three types of soils that, regardless of response initially, they reject God's seed. They reject the word for various reasons, whether it's the fact that there has no depth and trials come, or the fact that they get tempted to turn to other things. And the Apostle Paul shares a story in 2 Timothy about a person who had traveled with him called Demas, who loved this world and then abandoned the Apostle Paul and his ministry and left because he was enticed by this world. So we see here that three out of the four is types of soils that do not receive the word. But then Jesus actually blows their mind and says there is seed that falls on good ground. Now that's not the point that blows their mind. A normal harvest in this time frame in Israel was an 8-to-1 harvest. That's what they normally got. For every one seed, you reap 8. A good harvest is 10. A 10-to-1 ratio. And what's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about a harvest that his original hearers can't even fathom. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So when God's word starts taking roots in good soil, that's why he tells them in a different location in the Gospels, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So he's telling his disciples, his true followers, that as they spread the good news of the gospel and it starts taking root in good soil, the unimaginable is going to happen. And fruit of other souls, fruit of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, it's going to start transpiring in these hearts. It's going to start showing in these lives. And miraculous things are going to happen to where it continues to build and build and build until there, at the crescendo in the book of Revelation, there is someone from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation there. So we must be diligent in our work. But there's a center section here that I want to go back to that sometimes people question. Starting in verse 10. When he was alone and those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, he answered them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven." So Jesus is actually quoting Isaiah chapter 6, 9 and 10. And he's saying, these people who were telling these parables to were using common language, were using common examples of things that they understand, the sower and the seed in the area of the place, because it's actually condemning them. Because why? Go back to verse 3. What did Jesus tell them? They're not listening. They're not being obedient to what he originally said. And so he's using these parables that he's warning them of the wrath and judgment to come, but they're not listening, they're not hearing. And this shows God's mystery in plain talk. It shows God's kingdom where anyone can understand, but they don't get past the first command to actually listen. And they condemn themselves. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you've been too concerned with your ability to sow correctly, God's word tells us just to sow. Just to sow. If you're not a Christian, then the question is, what type of soil are you? And I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to ask you to examine yourself. I don't know everyone's story. I don't know everyone's condition. God does. Examine yourself versus God's word. See where you are. If you feel that you need to come to Christ, I pray that that's how God is dealing with you this morning. I'll be up front as we sing our concluding hymn in just a few minutes. Come and talk to me. If you haven't been sowing God's word the way you need to, confess that to Him. If you have something against someone else in this congregation, go and repent and make up. Whatever the case may be, use this time for His honor and His glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your word. And dear Lord, we know that it does not return void. It accomplishes what it sets out to accomplish. And so many times we gloss over the hard things, the fact that we may be discouraged when some of our sowing goes into the rocks or goes into the thorns or on the path. Help us not to be discouraged, because this is what You have called us and commissioned us to do. Help us to understand that the harvest is plentiful and that just unimaginable things for the kingdom can happen. And dear Lord, maybe there's someone here who's heard the gospel. Maybe there's someone here who's heard the seed of the word. Dear Lord, we pray that it finds good soil. We pray that the Holy Spirit deals with that person and brings them to a saving knowledge of You. We want to give this time to You. We honor and praise You for everything that happens. First, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.